Well, good morning. Somebody said I had to give an account of where I'd been. I got witnesses that I was in church last Sunday morning. We have one of our college grads of several years back, Brother Frank Kelly, that pastors down south, Osprey, I believe is the name of the town, down there near Sarasota, and doing a good job. And we went down, preached for sort of a homecoming, or anniversary, I guess it was anniversary Sunday. He'd been down there, I think, 12, 13 years. And once in a while, we need to do that sort of thing. And appreciate Brother Parsons allowing me to teach the adult class here, at least through the book of Revelation. I don't know what his plans are after that. But we appreciate that opportunity. Speaking of Brother Parsons, look around at the auditorium, how well it's decorated. You know, you might suspect the preacher used to play football. And he's got a good theme going. Pass it on. We need to pass on the gospel, don't we? And we're going to pass on something. And we might say, well, I don't have anything of value to pass on. If you know the Lord Jesus and pass on that testimony, that's a big thing. Amen? Very big. And I was in the bus meeting Saturday morning yesterday and heard Brother Parsons explain it to the kids. And we may not understand it all, but they do. They're excited about it. He told them how they could earn points and score touchdowns, and they got competition going. If you'll study the decorations, you'll see different colored helmets and different names of the teams, and some of those names are quite interesting. One of them, I forget which color it is over there, is Yakety Yaks. Well, I don't know exactly where that come from, but we need to yak some for the Lord Jesus, don't we? And we yak about everything else, I reckon. But we ought to speak up for the Lord. Well, it's good we can do some things in the cause of Christ. You know, it's real easy for young kids especially to think that church is just dull and boring and nothing exciting. So it don't hurt once in a while to do a little something they can relate to and build some excitement. And that's what he's doing here with the contest. And he'll explain it more thoroughly for sure. But I'd like to say, get involved. I think about, we've heard the saying, you get out of it what you put in it. I think about the little boy who went with his preacher daddy to visit a church, and dad was supposed to preach that morning, and they got there, and they were the only ones there. Finally, one or two others came in. But a lot of the old churches had a box in the lobby. When you come in the door, you put your offering in the box, or when you left, whenever. So when they came in the door, the preacher dad put a quarter in the box, dropped it in the opening, preached, and hardly anybody there. He and the little boy left. They walked back out, and his dad lifted the lid on the box, and all that was in it was a quarter. The little boy said, well, Daddy, you look disappointed, but if you'd have put more in it, you'd have got more out of it. And put something in it, you get more out of it. Amen. All right. Also today, we already heard Brother Perkins talking about Life Change Sunday. And I know it's a long hour out there. We have stood out in the rain before, but most of the time God's blessed the weather. And it's probably been on the warm side most every year. It's a pretty day out there today, and we ought to be able to make it all right. Just remember this, while we're out there standing and holding our signs up against killing the babies, yesterday there was a big rally of women in Washington, I guess it was, New York, other places, rallying for the right to kill their babies. Isn't that something? We say, well, why would God judge America? I can list you a lot of reasons, and that's one of the big ones. The taking of innocent blood, and you can't get more innocent than that baby. And taking innocent blood is a curse God puts on people in the Word of God, in the Bible. So all of that said, I want you to open your Bible to Revelation 18, I've made myself a promise. How many of you ever made yourself a promise and then later on you didn't keep it? I made myself a promise I was going to try to speed up. So you pray for me that I move on through the rest of these chapters. It's going to move faster because we're near the end. We already understand it. For instance, the book of Revelation is so written that God's looking at the whole big picture at one time. So some things we've already covered, we see again. For instance, at the end of chapter 6, we see the Lord coming back. And the evil crowd on earth crying for the mountains and rocks to fall on them, hide them from him that sits on the throne. That's the end of chapter 6. The souls under the altar, the martyrs, under the kingdom of the Antichrist, ones that's been beheaded, according to Revelation chapter 20. And so when we get to chapter 19, we see a repeat of the Lord coming back, leading the armies of heaven. That's what happens at the end, near the end of chapter 6. So we're walking up, as it were, to one picture at one time. We look here and here and here. We see different depictions sometimes of the same thing. A big error that's made oftentimes, and people want to study the book of Revelation, they want to take everything in another sequence right behind it. It's not all of it written that way. Some of it is, but certainly not all of it. For instance, right now, to get our setting, we've moved from the time of the catching out of the church, the rapture, we believe around chapter 4, verse 1. We've seen the scene in heaven, chapter 5 and 6, and then the seals opened up on the earth and the judgments of God begin to fall in chapter 13. We've seen where the Antichrist has come to the scene with his mark, where he's taken over the world, where the false prophet, the religious leader of the world religions that will come and are trying to come together right now, they'll point to him as being the man to worship. And the world will worship him for a little while. He'll have probably a reign, maybe 3.5 years at the most. But now we've got over into chapter 17 and 18 and found that God is now judging the kingdom of the Antichrist, the one world order. I saw something on the news this week reporting out of Europe. You got the so-called world news and you got other things you can flip through and find sometime. And this woman was talking, and she was talking about it like this is accepted, this is common, and she was saying all this for the one world order. Well, listen, she was telling exactly what they got planned. The one world order, everything in view of it, the one world kingdom. But the Bible tells us that one world kingdom is going to be headed up by the wrong man, amen? And he's going to be anti-God, anti-Christ. So as we move to chapter 17 and 18, we found in chapter 15, the seven angels with the seven last plagues filled up with the wrath of God. And God's dumping that wrath here near the end of the tribulation period on the kingdom of the Antichrist. He's put a curse on those that took the mark of the beast. And a grievous sore has developed on them. We in all the COVID business stuff today, and man, it's talking about seeing the Antichrist kingdom and how it's going to encroach on our freedoms. We're seeing that right now. All the so-called mandates and the Constitution is a forgotten document. It's actually despised by the leadership in America today. It's something that gets in their way. And it's amazing what we're doing right now that is so anti-Constitution, so against the Constitution. But it's happening in our nation as we see it. I fear we're seeing the death of America as we've known it. How long does it take it to finish off? I don't know. But if the rapture were to come today, it'd finish it off and fulfill the Bible really quick. Really quick. And so many of these things that we can kind of remind ourselves as we study in chapter 17 and 18, God's judgment falling on the Antichrist kingdom, and near the end of the trib. And now it seems so near as we look at some of these things. For instance, right now in Congress, they're trying to vote to bring in almost full total socialism. Two bills they've got up there, adding about another $6 trillion to the national debt. Say, what does that matter? It matters for your future kids. It matters whether they're going to have a country to grow up in like us or whether it's going to be gone. Folks, they're doing some, they're putting in some rules now that we would have never thought they could mandate in the past. Right now, you heard me say it the other Sunday, they're passing some rules to let them look at all your bank dealings. And anything $600 and more, they got the right to check it out and see what you spent it for. I'm going to be mean to you now and scare some of you. My wife don't like to hear some of these things, so I'm telling them to you. It is scary to hear some of the bad stuff that's going on right now. For instance, right now, the governor of California just mandated not only for all the school kids, even the young ones, to get the shot, but also the private schools. That means the church schools. That means your freedoms that you used to have under the First Amendment of the Constitution gone. Totally mandated. And on the bank thing, I hate to tell you this. If you just listen to the news, you hear it. It just passes in one ear and out of the other of America, and then it pinches when it comes home. It's, oh, I did hear about that. Well, you did. For instance, if this bill passes, they're going to be able to hire several thousand more IRS workers so they can check more of us out and prosecute more and collect more taxes, so to speak. And that's in the bill. Billion more here or there. Another extra police force that's under the control of Washington. Did you see where Nancy Pelosi also had the fence put back up? Anybody see that? Had the fence put back up around the, supposed to be the People's House, the White House, Congress. Of course, I wouldn't care if she'd get on the inside the fence and stay there. In fact, I think they ought to lock the gate on and throw away the key. But anyway, I mean, they're just mandating every kind of crazy thing right now to collect more taxes, and they're going to have to as they continue to pay for all the bills of the whole world to come across our open borders and come in and get free education and free medical health and free everything, rent, food, you name it. The money's got to come from somewhere, so look out, it's going to be me and you. I'm just going to tax the rich. That's a joke. They're going to wipe out the middle class. So like all socialist communist countries, you got the top elites and you got the poverty, and the middle class, which would be basically us, is wiped out. That's always the plan. History proves that. But they need more money, so how do they get it? Well, have you heard this one? And this was talked, and is being talked. It was talked by the head lady that Biden appointed over the finances. And this is what she was saying. And when Kennedy from, a good Senator Kennedy from Louisiana challenged her this week on it, and she didn't deny it, here's the plan. Let me give you an example. If you bought your house and made your last payment on it, and you've living in that house 10 years or 15 years, you finally might have made the last mortgage payment, now it's yours. But in that period of time, the value of your house is probably doubled over what you paid for it. Understand what I'm saying? Let's say you paid $100,000 for it and you paid it off. Now it's worth $200,000, and that's just figures I'm pulling out to give you an illustration. So what she is saying is that now you're living in a house that's more valuable than when you bought it. So that's wealth that you have that she wants to tax. Do you understand what I'm saying? Wipe it out. whatever you gained, maybe you thought, well, maybe one day I'll retire and I'll have this to keep me alive till I die. Not if they take it. See, that stuff comes home. Is it any wonder then when you read over about the Antichrist coming in with his mark, you can't buy or sell, you can't do your bank business, you can't go to the grocery store, you can't buy milk for the baby or gas for the car. By the way, you won't need gas by then, they say. This socialistic program has several billion in it to make your cars all electric. But now let's remember something. The electric comes off the batteries. Where do the batteries come from? China. China is making the batteries. Not only that, the solar panels. See, all of it's coming together in a great big plan to bring in the one world order, the one world kingdom. And so we see all that. Now, you and I are moved deep enough in the book of Revelation, we're going to get to the good news here in the next lesson or two. It's really good news right now in chapter 17 and 18 that God's judgment is beginning to fall on this Antichrist kingdom. Now, it'll be headed by a man. And we remind ourselves of that, about this man. He's described in the Bible in several places. He's called the Lawless One. Think on that one a minute. Our laws, like at our borders and other things, Lawless One. Throw the Constitution away. Change laws. He'll come in and change things that have been stable for many, many years in our country. But he's the Lawless One. He's also called in the Bible the man of sin. God sees him as the man of sin. The world for a while, those that reject Christ will see him as a benefactor. But God calls him the man of sin. In the book of Daniel, he's called the little horn that comes up among the other kings or horns. And tells us a lot about him in the book of Daniel. In fact, if you want to do it with me, turn over to Daniel, back to your left, because Revelation and Daniel go hand in glove. And if you go over to the book of Daniel, I'd show you just a couple of portions. Chapter 7. Go to chapter 7. By the way, how many of you remember what chapter 6 was? Everybody remembers Daniel being thrown in the lion's den, don't you? Well, that's what happens in chapter 6. Anybody know why he got thrown in the lion's den? Because they caught him praying when he wasn't supposed to, right? If you read chapter 6 real close, you'll discover the bureaucrats are the ones that trapped him. The King Darius didn't want to. Didn't know it. They tricked King Darius into signing a bill. How many politicians in Washington have been tricked into signing something? There's a senator in West Virginia, up there where my son is, named Joe Manchin. Y'all ought to pray for him. Now, he's not as conservative as we'd like for him to be, but he is the fly in the ointment right now. He's the spur under their saddle. He's a Democrat, and he's holding up the caravan of socialism on these bills. Because at this point, he hadn't given in. There's a woman also out in Arizona. Those two, if they would hold, we might postpone this thing. You won't stop it, but you might postpone it a while. And we ought to pray for them. Bureaucrats running the show. Bureaucrats that don't care about the Constitution, don't care about America's freedom. They're bringing in socialism. That's what happened in chapter 6 of Daniel. They're bureaucrats. They didn't like Daniel because, and the titles they were given were presidents and princes. If you read Daniel chapter 6, they were bureaucrats in the government of King Darius. And so they go to the king who has been favorable to Daniel and elevated him and got respect for Daniel. And they go to Daniel, to the king about Daniel. They're setting a trap. They don't use Daniel's name when they go before the king. They said, oh, king, we have got a rule here we want to make. We want you to sign this bill that any man, anybody that makes a petition to man or God for the next 30 days, We'll throw them in the lion's den. King Darius suckered for it, signed it. And then here's a statement, I can't turn to it for time, but Daniel chapter 6 has a statement you read like this. When those presidents and princes, bureaucrats got together, they said, we know we'll find no occasion against Daniel. He's done nothing wrong. We'll find no occasion against him except it be in the law of his God. Wow. You know where Landmark Baptist Church and other churches like us are going to get in trouble? Obeying the law of our God. That's it. That's like when they said, you got to close church for COVID. I said, no. No. And we didn't. And Brother Parsons certainly would not either. And we lost some folks over it. Some listening to me that haven't come back since. I hope they will come back. But here's the whole point. The law of God supersedes the rest of this junk. And we had better keep that in mind. So Daniel prayed anyway. And if you read the close in Daniel chapter 6, it'll say like he did aforetime. He already had the habit of praying three times a day, right? And when they made it illegal, he kept doing it. Now, you know, I had the habit of coming to church before COVID, before it became illegal. And I kept on coming. And I would have went to jail before I would have stopped. Daniel went to the lion's den because he didn't obey. But God got in that lion's den, didn't he? Amen. Took care of the lions. They didn't bother Daniel. And old King Darius, he realized he was tricked. He spent a whole day trying to dodge it, but he couldn't. It was the law of the Medes and Persians. He couldn't change it. So Daniel was thrown to the lions, and old King Darius that night didn't even watch TV. He didn't even raid the refrigerator. He had a sleepless night praying for Daniel. And the first thing in the morning, he ran down to the lion's den and called out to Daniel. Remember the story? And old Daniel said, oh, King, live forever. God has sent his angel and sealed the mouths of the lion. Amen. You know what Darius did then? Then he turned on his enemies and he threw them to the lions. There's a time when the Lord Jesus is going to throw the enemies. They're going to reap what they've sown. The anti-God crowd is not going to win. They think they're winning, but they're not. Amen. Not in America, not across the world. And so as we are studying here, I go to Daniel chapter 7, and we're talking about the man, the Antichrist, that'll head up his one world order, the kingdom, his kingdom. And it says in chapter 7 of Daniel, look at verse 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom, Antichrist's kingdom, are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak, now here it is, great words against the Most High. Been hearing anybody speak against God? Boy, haven't we? All the late night comedians on TV, all the so-called bureaucrats blaspheming God. He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. God's people are going to be persecuted. And think to change, and here it is, I said he was the lawless one, change times and laws, and they shall be given unto him, under his hand, until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's 3.5. One time. Another 2, that makes 3.5, makes 3.5. When you get to the book of Revelation, you find out it's 3.5 years. Or 1,260 days, same thing. Or 42 months in the book of Revelation, same thing. Antichrist's time, his kingdom. Now, this is him, the little horn, we call him. And we could read more about him. If you were to turn over while we're in Daniel, before I leave there, turn over to Daniel chapter 11. Chapter 11. Just move over from chapter 7 to chapter 11. And pick it up on the same man again. Speaking of him in verse 24. He, the Antichrist, shall enter peaceably upon all these, upon the fattest places of the province. He shall do that which his fathers have not done. Now think on that one. Every now and then I say this, and I hear folks say it, well, the culture's changed. It's not the same world. We don't do what our fathers did. We're undoing what our fathers did that was right. And he shall, and here's where your socialism comes in now, he shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. Now, I'm going to stop there, but he's going to be the one that comes in buying votes, come in giving away freebies, what's called entitlements. Folks, we ought to be real careful about that word, entitlements. You know what you're entitled to? Your government's supposed to protect you, to allow you to go out and work and earn your own living, as the Bible says, by the sweat of your face. That's government's duty. Government's duty is not to take care of you from the cradle to the grave. I hate these commercials that come on TV. Well, we'll get all we're entitled to. Well, who entitles you to anything? Did you earn it, or are you trying to steal it from somebody that did earn it? Socialism says, if you have more than me, I have a right to take it. I've said this before. Socialism is two wolves and a lamb deciding what's going to be for supper. Socialism is eating up our freedoms in America, destroying us. And it's sad. What they're doing now, arguing these bills in Congress, they're arguing what they're going to do with somebody else's money that they didn't earn. Yeah, I get off on this. I'll get back to the Bible in a minute. Listen, government don't create anything. It can't give you anything that it don't take from somebody else. Our forefathers knew that. They wrote it in our great documents. They gave us the greatest nation that's ever been. Now we're seeing it destroyed. It's the opposite. They took their principles from the Bible. They took their truths from the Bible. That's why this nation was raised up and has had the great history it had. But as we turn our back on the Bible and on the God of the Bible, we're seeing our country go down the tubes. And it is really moving fast. So when we get to the end of the book of Revelation, the good news is God's people win. The devil's going to get his ultimate man in charge, but that man is not going to finally win. He's going to be destroyed. Amen. When you get over to the book of chapter 20, we'll get to it later, we'll find out where the beast and the false prophet is cast into the lake of fire. That's the two leaders you find in Revelation 13, and the Antichrist that brings in the mark of the beast and his kingdom. We hadn't got there yet. If God's people were raptured out with the sound of the trumpet today, everything is in place for the Antichrist kingdom to take over. I mean quick. I mean right away. In fact, it'll become part of the explanation of all the mysterious people disappearing. If we're caught up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, like the Bible says, somebody's got to explain where we went. And that world leaders that are left are going to be explaining it. All right. I'm probably not going to get any further in the chapter, don't look like. I looked at the clock again. Years ago, I was not a preacher. I'd been saved. I was teaching Sunday school some and boys' class. And I went to a dentist to have some work done. And while I was sitting in the dentist's office as a young man, I picked up some of the magazines. In those days, now you wouldn't believe it, but in those days they had big old color pictures in the magazines, remember? Some of those magazines were named Look and Life. And boy, they made some beautiful colored pictures in them. And I was thumbing through it, dreading and fearing the dentist. I never did like dentists anyway, but later on, I've had a little different attitude, but you don't want that story. But when I was 15, one pulled the wrong tooth, and I never liked one since. But anyway, I was looking at the pictures. Beautiful pictures, and it showed planet Earth and some of the universe and the planets moving around. Beautiful picture. Then I read the caption under it. The caption said, the day will come, possibly, that one planet will come closer to another, and the gravitational pull will be so strong that if one comes close enough to planet Earth, people could mysteriously be attracted up and disappear, because in their makeup, some people have more electronics or electrical system, and we would be magnetically caught out. And I thought, that's the explanation they're going to give for the rapture. That's just one of them. They're going to give a lot of them. They're going to have to explain it somehow. And then the opposition, the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, and preachers argue about this, the Holy Spirit, I do believe, is restraining evil in the world right now. And when God's church is caught out, who's going to resist what's wrong? And the Antichrist will have a paved road right in to take over very quickly. And somebody's got to explain it to the satisfaction of, I've often thought, preaching like I've done for 50 years and like you hear Brother Parsons and others do, even the lost world out there has a fairly good idea of what's supposed to happen. They've heard us preach that millions could disappear. They've heard us preach that we're going to be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord in the air, meet our loved ones in the air. They've heard that. So don't you think some of them are going to think about that when it happens? I think they are. They're not going to be as easy to convince. Talking about building a fence around the White House, they'll have to build some fences, because there's going to be some mobs hitting the street in panic, I think, until they do get the false explanation given to them. All right, you didn't listen fast enough this morning. I didn't get very far. Let's read the first verse so I can say I did start. And after these things, seven angels with the seven plagues of God, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Boy, this is going to start in the victory time. When we get through and get into chapter 19, it's going to be shouting time. Got the report?